Future-Proof Extra from Newstalk.
Now, we live in a dynamic and ever-changing world, and at our scale, perhaps the only thing that's eternal and unchanging are the stars in the sky. So you can imagine it should be a little disconcerting when one of them just inexplicably disappears. But not for our next guest. He was delighted. Andrew Allen is a PhD candidate in astrophysics and part of the Jose Gros Massive Star and Supernova group at Trinity College. Welcome to the program, Andrew. Tell us about this spectacular discovery and disappearance. What were you looking at? Where is this star?
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on. So this star is in a very distant galaxy. So it's 75 million light years away. So it's extremely far away. And we wanted to observe this star because it's quite an extreme star. It's very, very bright. Previous studies had already detected the presence of the star in the galaxy, and we wanted to get our own observation. So we done just that in late August of 2019. But to our surprise, the star's signature didn't seem to be there. So what we requested a follow-up observation to make sure this was the case. And so we got our second observation in December of 2019. And again, it showed the star was no longer there. So we were obviously very excited by this.
Well, it's kind of weird to be like, right, let's go take a picture of this star. It's not there. Great. Let me ask you a few questions before we continue. The first is 75 million light years away is very, very far indeed. Does it have to be a very bright star for us to even see it? Or is that not the case?
Yeah, and so because this star is so far away, the only reason why we're able to see it is because of its extreme properties. So yeah, it's extreme brightness. So when we ran our models, we compared our models to the previous observations where the star still was there, and we predicted that the star was between 2.5 to 3.5 million times brighter than the sun.
So that isn't a stable state, surely, as far as we know when it comes to physics. Is that right? Nothing is that bright for long enough.
It's in a very late stage of its evolution. So we would expect the star's life to end around then. But normally, for a star of this mass, so we predict a mass somewhere between 80 times the mass of the sun, we'd expect to see a very bright explosion known as a supernova when the star does end its life. But we didn't detect one of those explosions.
Take us through that end stage and remind us again how stars of that size go out.
Yeah, so as the star is coming towards the end of its life, it's constantly burning elements in its core, heavier and heavier elements, up until it reaches an iron core. And at this point, it can't perform these nuclear reactions to burn iron. It can, but it won't generate more energy for the star. So what happens is, the star starts to collapse in on itself. It's constantly battling against gravity to not collapse in.
What does that mean? Because we hear it all the time that, you know, that a star is collapsing in on itself, Andrew. What does that mean?
Yeah, so because these stars have such extreme gravities, there's a constant gravitational force just pressing down on these stars. But normally, the nuclear reactions can balance it. But once these nuclear reactions come to a halt, then the star is going to start to collapse in on itself. And for these extremely massive stars, they can continue to collapse all the way down to a black hole.
Oh, right. Okay, so these enormous stars actually end up just sort of eating themselves, not quite out of existence, but into a black hole. Is this how all black holes form?
No, there's other ways. These are how the stellar mass black holes. So there are much larger black holes, but this is how the ones roughly the mass of stars are created.
Okay, so then, is that what you think happened with this? Because it seems like the timing is very recent.
It's one of our proposed scenarios is it collapsed to a black hole without producing this bright supernova explosion. So this would be very exciting if it was true, because it's only been seen once before for a star 25 times heavier than the sun. Obviously, it's hard to detect these kind of events because there's not that bright explosion. But, so if that's true, that would be very exciting. But it also, the star could still be there. So our other option is the star was going through a very strong eruption when it was observed previously, which then ended sometime after 2011. And also dust from the star could be blocking the star's light. So we're looking at optical wavelengths to detect the star, but dust would block light coming at these wavelengths and re-emit this light at different wavelengths that we weren't looking at, so at infrared wavelengths.
Sort of an invisibility cloak you're talking about there. So how do we not have the bit in between? So you, in 2011, you had this extraordinarily bright star, 75 million years away, light years away, 85 to 120 times the mass of the sun. Something was going on. It was at the end of its life. Then we look at it again and it's gone. What about all the images of the night sky we've taken in the past decade?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we didn't observe with a spectrum anyway, that part of the sky. And so we can only detect the star's signature in a spectrum. So that's just observing the star's light all at separate wavelengths. So separating the star's light at different wavelengths. And we have to plan those observations for this galaxy.
Right, because it's an expensive and equipment-intensive thing to do. There's only a certain number of telescopes in the world that can do that.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So how, because you said in your description of this that we, you know, we asked for an observation. So can you tell me how that works when you want to get a picture of this star to study it? What do you have to do?
Yeah, so we observed using ESO's Very Large Telescope, which is, there's 4 8-meter telescopes in a desert in Chile. So we have to write a very long proposal explaining the reasons why we want to obtain this observation, what kind of science we can perform, what results we're hoping to get. So our initial plan was actually just to get a very high quality observation, which we could then run against our models to predict the properties of the star. So that's how we got our first observation, which we're very happy to get. But once we couldn't find the star's signature, we got a kind of a fast track observation. And so we got that observation within 4 months. So that's actually very quick. And the reason was because it was quite a surprising result.
Okay, so you say, I want a photograph of this immediately. And you then sit down and write a large proposal paper, wait 4 months, and you get the photograph, right? Okay. What does an empty photograph tell you apart from that it's gone? I mean, if you've used this very fancy telescope to take a look at it and you found nothing there, is that it? Will you ever know what happened to this star?
Yeah, there's a few things we can do. So our team is we're hoping to use the Hubble Space Telescope soon. So that's going to be in a study led by one of the members of our research group who wrote the paper. Right. Nathan Smith, and we're going to use Hubble. So Hubble actually observed this galaxy in 2011 when the star was still present. So if we get a new observation, we'll hopefully be able to pick out the star in the galaxy, determine which star disappeared, and maybe help us decide what scenario happened.
Hang on. If the star is already gone, I mean, Hubble doesn't go back in time, or does it?
No. But we have an observation with Hubble when the star was still there. So by comparing the two, the observation showing the star there and then the observation with the star gone, we'll be able to pick out from in the before picture, oh, it must have been a star in this region.
Okay. Are there other theories as to what might have happened to this star?
Yeah. So another group in a paper by Burke et al. 2020, they predicted that maybe what was inferred to be the star's signature isn't actually from the star at all. It's from a supernova explosion, so a star that had already exploded.
Right.
So in this case, what we'd be looking at is the material ejected in the explosion reacting with material which was already surrounding the star. So that's another viable option. And in this case, the explosion would have had to have taken place sometime between 1995 and 1998, just because there wasn't any observations taken in this time frame, so that it could have happened then.
The galaxy that you're looking in is actually quite an interesting one as well, isn't it? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's interesting because it's a young galaxy, which it needs to be young in order to have these massive stars. As well as that, it is quite a low metallicity galaxy, so not a lot of observations of a of massive stars are in these type of environments. So we're very interested in what happens in low metallicity galaxies.
Do you care what the outcome is, and would you be able to prove it definitively? Like, do you care what happened to the star?
I definitely care. We can disprove some theories easier than others. So if we were to observe at infrared wavelengths, so this is the wavelengths where dust would emit at, we could rule out the dust scenario. And actually, some of our 2019 December observation has a portion of this infrared wavelength. So we can rule out very hot dust, but we need to get a new infrared observation in order to rule out dust completely.
Andrew, you said you cared about what happened to the star. Do you have a preferred outcome, or a preferred scenario as to what happened?
Yeah, so of the three scenarios, I'd hope it to be the direct collapse to black hole, just because it's such an exciting result. But at the moment, we can't say any for certain. But yeah, hopefully it's the black hole collapse. The dust scenario is also still extremely exciting. And the properties we predict for the star are very extreme as well. So it's interesting in that standpoint as well.
Do you get to name it if you make an interesting discovery about it? Or do you get is there any prize for spotting something unusual in the sky these days?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
All right, Andrew Allen from Trinity College Dublin, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on.